Com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Sick Vicious, the master and the ruler of the world.
This is Steve Blackman, Lethal Weapon.
This is WTR Sunday Night.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The name does sound familiar.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
We thought it best to break it to you slowly.
With your hosts, Kim Stein.
Do you know how long it took to set up this project?
The Omega.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say, you do it better than anyone.
Heartbreak Mike.
Come on, guys. We're all on the same team here.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
And speaking modestly, I'm the best mechanical engineer in this country.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sounds rather fun, actually.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Are you sure this thing works?
WTR Sunday Night.
Who made dim half the lights in Brooklyn?
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's been a week of tragedy. It's been a week of disappointments. But enough about my results in the Fantasy Draft Season 1. We're here to talk the week of professional wrestling. I am the Omega, the be-all end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Yo.
Yo.
Rage.
You can't rage yet. We just started.
Apparently he wants to rage now.
Okay, fine. Then you can go rage. And as usual, we have with us the one and only Tim Stein.
Wow. It must have been a bad week, and you must have really been working hard at trying to recover from Season 1 of the Fantasy Draft, because I don't think I got picked on in that entire intro this time.
You're just not feeling it some weeks.
I can understand that.
You know, you gotta take a week off from now and then to come up with new creative jokes.
Does that mean I get the week off?
No.
Officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got a few things that we are definitely going to be talking about this week, with everything that has happened since SummerSlam. Starting off with, the WWE Universal Champion getting injured before he wins the title at SummerSlam. And, that's right, Finn Balor had to give up the title. He is now out for up to 6 months after getting his shoulder operated on.
Thanks, Brent.
Yeah, good job.
Blame Brent. And
credit to Balor. I mean, he finished the match popping the shoulder back in the socket himself.
Did you actually see him pop, like, with all of the replays going on over the past week on YouTube, WWE.com, pretty much just about every wrestling news site and dirt site out there, the slow-mo video replay of where he's popping it back in afterwards.
Yeah.
Ow. Ugh, that just gave me a shudder.
I can imagine with the adrenaline going from the match, he probably didn't feel it as much as you think he did, but when he got to the back, I'm sure it started.
They did not need to slow-mo that. Just saying.
In a situation like that, maybe they should have cut the slow-mo off right after he crashed into the barricade.
No, on the replays they showed, it's like you didn't have to slow that down for it to watch him push it back in. We did not need to see that over and over again.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So, yeah, not a very comfortable thing to have happen to a person, I'm sure. But, you know, this just leads to us not having a world champion on Raw again. Now, we've got a tournament they're in the middle of, and a new champion is to be crowned next week. Guys, who do you see getting the title?
There's two schools of thought here. One is things didn't go to plan. Will they play it safe, or will they try and stick to the plan and put some new blood into the title picture?
Big Cass is definitely winning the Universal title.
Not that much new blood.
But it would be different.
Hey, dude, you know, if that happened, I'd get points.
You would get points.
It would be entirely different, but entirely reckless. And not to mention, the best thing about them is Enzo and Cass. Like, I don't think you wreck that dynamic by singling one out as a world champion.
But he's 7 feet tall, and you know Vince McMahon likes them big and tall.
You can't teach that.
Yeah, he's big. He's still very, very, very new to the roster. Well, I can't even defend it with that, because Finn was even newer.
Yeah, well, still, he's a lot greener than Finn was.
This is true.
And you can't really call Finn green. I mean, look at Finn's short history of professional wrestling compared to Cass.
Balor short. Okay, I wouldn't consider Finn Balor short history, but that's for you to decide.
Oh, short WWE history.
You want to say WWE history, I can go with that. But,
okay, you guys, I don't know what it is, but facetiousness is just lost on you completely.
Anyway. You have to change the way you say things, Tim, to actually make that a point. Anyway, back to the point.
Anyway, back on the train tracks.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put it on Kevin Owens.
See, that's what I'm thinking, like, in the back of my head. If this is the new era, I wanted to see it on someone new, and I think Kevin has been proving himself a lot.
It's really wild at this point in time that we can't really consider Seth to be among the new blood anymore.
He's newer-ish, but he held the title, what, 6 months last year?
Mm.
Something to that effect, from Mania to basically almost Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Isn't that like 7 months?
So, yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with the title landing on Owens. That really opens up quite a few different opportunities for different programs. It really does.
It would be interesting. I think that's what they're going for. They're going for a little bit of shock value here, the same way like Sasha winning the belt on Raw. They're trying to get just a little bit of pop value out of who they're picking. And Finn definitely would have done that and did do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the indie fans on the internet would just like completely flip out if Kevin Owens was the Universal Champion.
At the same time, right now I'm leaning towards Owens, but I still wouldn't have a problem if they decided to put it back on Seth. I really wouldn't.
When was the last time Raw had a heel top champion besides, I know it was Seth, right?
Yeah. That depends on how you count the reaction Roman gets.
Okay. What? Okay.
He gets heel heat without being a heel.
My thing is, I think it's going to be Owens. He's done a lot. He's worked his ass off. And I think they've been prepping him to do something like this. I mean, because look at Dean Ambrose. Close to the title picture. Never got a chance until that opportune moment. Kevin Owens beat up and then got beat up by a main eventer, did his rivalry with his former best friend, won a mid-card title, and boom, in the title picture.
But with Owens holding the title, that also precludes a lot of names from winding up in that main event, doesn't it? With Kevin Owens, you're not going to turn him face. You're going to keep his character the way it is. And history has proven that heel versus heel rarely works.
Well, honestly, to be honest, I don't think Seth is a heel right now.
He's almost like a tweener, Seth, really.
Yeah, he's pretty much like, I do what I want. Yay, crowd pop, crowd cheer, yay. Wait, why is he a face? Oh, that's right, because we hate Roman. Yay.
He's one of those heels that's so good at being douchey, you start hearing people applaud just to appreciate it.
There you go. Because I know it ain't going to be Roman, because if you can't win the US title, I'm sorry.
No, Roman
is so close.
Roman's still in the midst of being punished. He's not getting the title.
Yeah, that's why I was like, did you guys really think Roman was going to win the US title? No.
No, he's in this thing to take a pinfall and make the winner look credible because he pinned a former world champion.
So, yeah. So basically, are we on the same page? We'd love to see Owens, but we'll accept Rollins regaining the title.
I think that's the consensus.
Yeah, not much of a debate going on there. But as far as Seth Rollins goes, in my opinion, he started to become a dangerous worker in the ring. That's the perception. I mean,
you just say it because Bret Hart said it.
Well, no, actually, I didn't even know Bret Hart talked about it because I don't pay that much attention to that shit anymore.
He commented about it after Seth busted Cena's face open.
Yeah, I didn't even read that then when it happened. But that's the thing. He busted Cena's face open. He basically retired Sting. Of course, that was the problem that Sting had that was just exacerbated by the turnbuckle powerbomb. But he has now hurt their, you know, golden replacement, I guess you could call him, for Roman Reigns. And an up-and-comer in Finn Balor. Is he reckless, or is it just a series of misfortunate events?
Yeah, it's one thing when a move goes wrong and it's just things you couldn't prevent. Well, there was some sweat on the ropes and I kind of slipped, or, well, you fell in this position and couldn't move without, breaking kayfabe. You know, shit like that ends up leading to injuries here and there that there's just nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to have a recurring theme,
yeah,
you kind of have to start wondering.
Well, that's
right now.
Sorry, go ahead.
Right now, you've got Seth Rollins' list right now is like three like pretty huge names in Cena, Sting, and now Finn Balor. And let's not forget himself.
Yeah. God, 95% of the work that he does in the ring, I appreciate. It's that 5% that makes everybody think that he's reckless. I don't know that he's reckless. Maybe, you know, I'm leaning towards just a series of unfortunate events, that just wound up, dogging him all at once, accumulatively. I shouldn't say all at once because it's not like it happened one right after the, even though that's how it feels. But the turnbuckle powerbomb, should he drop that?
Yeah.
That's a little bit too.
No.
Whoa.
You don't think so, Mike? You like the turnbuckle powerbomb?
Okay. Let me, and I have to really watch this carefully. And it's the same way as the muscle buster. The problem with it was posting and prepping yourself. The same thing that happened with the muscle buster with Tyson Kidd. Posting. He didn't get his right gripping and anything else. Same thing. And Tim, you understand this. Whenever you're in the ring, you have to learn how to post. You have to also learn how to take a bump correctly. I think what it was, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, you always got to be prepared for everything.
Well, that's why workers will spend upwards of a half an hour to 45 minutes talking with each other before a show. Going over not just what they're going to do, but moves and how they're going to perform the moves. Preparation is a very big deal. Like the older generation, previous to what we've been experiencing for the last 15 years, the guys that were calling it in the ring, they didn't spend all that much time in the back room talking about it. They said, okay, what do you want to do? Let's do this, that, you know, thing. Okay, let me know. We'll talk about it in the ring during the match. Boom. And you get the veterans just calling it as they went along. One led the other. Generally, it was the more experienced or the heel who would do all the calling. But at the same time, the one thing that was stressed at any wrestling school that these guys ever attended was ring awareness. Where are you in the ring? And it's brought up as a commentary thing. By Michael Cole as much as anybody else. Great ring presence there to get his foot on the ropes, McMahon. Well, of course, great ring presence. Sure, it's all scripted and figured out. But if they miss a step and he's actually 3 feet away from, further away than he thinks he is, then it's not great ring presence anymore, is it? Right? As far as the turnbuckle powerbomb, Sting is a special case because he already had that neck problem from decades in the ring. It was just in that situation, depending on who you're wrestling, there are moves you shouldn't do to certain wrestlers. I mean, perfect case in point, Stone Cold Steve Austin, after recovering from Owen Hart's pile driver, you couldn't smack him around in the head or the neck. And that was the edict. You stayed away from those moves. That's all there was to it. In Sting's case, shouldn't have had the turnbuckle powerbomb. In Finn Balor's case, you want to do a turnbuckle powerbomb, do it in the ring against the turnbuckle. That way, you know where the turnbuckle is. The damn thing is, it's not curved like the barricade was. There's no danger of you hitting one shoulder over the other to pop it out. After it's all said and done, 2020 hindsight and everything else like that, it's not a surprise that Finn Balor suffered a dislocated shoulder from that move. Really, is it?
One more step forward and Finn would be fine right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, he would have splashed against his back as planned. Seth just pitched him too fast. And what I don't like when he does that, there's nothing you can do once you're in the air. Just hope that he would let you go at the right time and take the move like you're supposed to take it. If he didn't let you go at the right time, you're out for 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, Sting might have been a special case. But let's keep in mind, that's a nagging injury he had for a while, and he can't believe I'm saying this, got through TNA intact. No one ever tripped that with him. Like, no one ever, like, made that injury, retirement level type injury. The powerbomb did, and yeah, it was a mistake to book him, taking turnbuckle powerbombs, moves he's never taken before, let alone twice in the same match.
Yep.
That said, you've still got a move that retired one of the biggest names in the industry and just cost Raw the guy they were putting their brand new championship on and wrecked God knows how many plans. In the aftermath, I will be sick to my stomach if I ever see that turnbuckle powerbomb again.
I have a bad feeling we're going to. But then again, that being said, we haven't seen the curb stomp for 3 years.
That's because there's lawsuits involved with concussions in WWE right now.
Yeah.
Here's what I know. I know that once upon a time, and you brought it up, a pile driver cost one of their biggest rising stars a match, and he might have been able to finish the match and win a title, but it put him on the shelf for a long time.
Yeah.
Same scenario. Here we've got a move that put away Finn for 6 months, cost them a lot of their plans, cost them their champion. There's no reason to use that move.
But at the same time, they never did bother banning pile drivers after it happened.
Really? I can remember one, and that was CM Punk pulling one out on Cena, and everyone freaked out because he used a pile driver.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, I don't remember Owen ever delivering another pile driver, but I had seen pile drivers. I mean, one perfect case in point was Undertaker.
The tombstone is not a proper pile driver, and you know that.
Well, it's still classified.
As long as the head is above the knees, there's no way that's going to do what it did to Stone Cold.
Yeah, but hey, maybe wrestlers should be taught to deliver the pile driver like that. What do you think?
I think the Undertaker would start skinning people alive for using his move.
Well, no, I'm not talking about doing the Tombstone pile driver. Make sure that the guy's head is between your thighs when you drop down to your knees or when you sit down on your ass. Well, that's exactly it. Don't sit down on your ass when you deliver the pile driver, right?
There's the thing. That's pretty much how you are taught. In any move, you're taught, okay, this is how you – it's a magician's trick. It's like it's supposed to look dangerous. It's supposed to look like you're actually doing something when, in fact, you're actually protecting the person taking the move. There's no trick to a turnbuckle power bomb. You're throwing them into a hard object back first. And if anything goes wrong, serious injuries result. He came up short, Sting gets whiplashed. Comes up short, shoulder dislocation. When there's that much, when there's such a thin margin of error with a move, the move shouldn't be done.
I'm having a hard time debating this with you because I really, I don't see the downside of your argument, to tell you the truth.
Like, even if he can perform it safely, there's no reason to take the risk. If he wants to add like a running tiger bomb to his replacement, fine.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets a similar effect. He doesn't replace that much out of his repertoire.
Yeah. Really quickly, Mike, do you have any thoughts or opinions on any of this?
No. Everything has been said. Everything that has been said, indeed.
Okay. Well, with very minor variations, I guess we wind up, overall generally in agreement with this topic. So, but, maybe the WWE Universal title's just cursed.
I don't know what shaman's blood was used to make it.
That is just, that's a terrible title.
The title is fine because it's the same damn design.
Yeah.
Like, I think if it was a red strap on a completely new plate, no one would really argue it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was just a bigger version of the Winged Eagle, I don't think anyone would have complained.
Yeah.
You know, like, I honestly think the women's championships did exactly what they should have done. You know, keep the strap the same and only make the background of the logo to match the show.
Yeah.
That's perfect. It's subtle. It still tells them apart. It still makes them look equal.
There's too much damn red on that bloody thing, and that's all I see is red, and I keep expecting Eva Marie to come out and award it.
Oh God.
Yeah, I know, that was bad.
It's like this, it's very much like I remember like Ultimate Warrior randomly coming out, and like all of a sudden the championship's yellow. What?
Yeah. The banana championship.
You gotta weigh some weird colors on that belt. No one ever said a thing.
Oh yeah.
But no, they come out with a red belt for the red show, and everyone is, that belt sucks. That belt sucks.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's like you pointed out, it's the same damn belt, just with a different color scheme, right?
So. No, Seth did actually make a really good point about the belt. You know, it's not about the belt itself. It's about what they're willing to do to win the belt. Mm-hmm. You had a guy go through a separated shoulder, popped it back in Rambo style, and finished the match in order to win that belt. Put himself on the shelf for 6 months.
Yeah.
To win that belt. That's what it means. That's what it meant to him. That should carry the weight of that belt right there.
Yep.
If they were smart enough to parlay it.
You said Rambo style, but the image that pops to my mind is Martin Riggs from Lethal Weapon 2.
I don't think I've seen Lethal Weapon 2.
You're kidding. One of the very few sequels in history that's possibly even better than the original movie.
Look, it wasn't my kind of movie, you know, and I was a kid when it was around. You know, it's
okay.
Not like it was in my spectrum yet.
Well, not to give away anything in the movie, if you ever do decide to see it, if you haven't seen it yet, it winds up being one of the main focal points of how he gets out of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's introduced at the beginning of the movie, so that's the MacGuffin for one central point of the movie.
Okay, wait. I think we've had this discussion before. That's not a MacGuffin.
I know, I did that on purpose. I'm sorry.
I've had a bad day. Don't give me an aneurysm like that.
I apologize. I was just trying to lighten the mood. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I just think there's just way too much red on the belt. And that's just, you know, I understand, you know, continuity, uniformity and stuff like that. Would it have been better to be a completely different design?
Yes.
Instead of bringing back a slightly different version of the Winged Eagle or the Smoking Skull, which we'll never see again, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you why they did it. One, this brand split was like an 11th hour decision in the first place. You can tell by, they know the roster's thin, so they just thought they could hire in a bunch of people to come back to WWE just to fill up gaps. And they got back Curt Hawkins and Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
Great pulls, guys.
Oh, at one point in time, weren't we expecting to see Kurt Angle return till he opened up his big mouth?
Possibly, but at this point in his career, do you really think Kurt Angle is actually going to be anything on the roster?
Not much more than Bob Backlund is right now.
We were going to put Shelton Benjamin, but he fucked his shoulder.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, bad timing. So, like, right now, I'll tell you why they did it, because the designs were done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we know when they did this WWE belt, they went through revision after revision, design concept after design concept, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's a new belt going to look like? Are we going to have old elements? Are we going to add in chains or something? Like I've saw some weird designs they had coming up with for this belt until they arrived at the design that they have now, which is just a big Super Bowl ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of work to put into something. And when you decide the last minute, hey, let's split the brands.
Yeah.
They don't have time to work up a new belt like that. And what are you going to do? Like drag the WCW title belt out of mothballs again? No, the belt doesn't have any meaning anymore.
That belt lost meaning years ago.
Yeah. Like, the only thing you can do is, well, we've already got the molds and we've already got the castings for this belt. Let's just go ahead and make this belt except red, because Raw will change the little logo on the front. And this way, Mattel won't throw shit at us for coming up with a new belt that they have to start putting in all the toys.
Yeah, all they have to do is get some red spray paint and really, really small masking tape. Really, really, really tiny masking tape.
Well, Tim, they just paint the name on those little toy belts. They don't have to do that.
I know that, but I'm just wondering how many people listening now are probably trying to picture this little itty-bitty mini roll of masking tape right now.
See, you make jokes, but I've actually seen toys where they had some, like, 11th hour fuck-up on something, and they have to sticker over, like, every little mention, every tiny little word on the box. Like, they were going to name a Transformer Spastic, until they found out in the UK that's a really offensive slur.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to go to the UK and call somebody Spastic.
Yeah.
Well, not such a bad thing.
So but. you get the box, and everywhere they had to print the character's name, it's like, It's taped over and, like, rewritten to try to match.
Yeah, that's harsh. Yeah, Spastic, it's a simple everyday, like, insult type word in the States.
It's like calling someone retarded over here. It's a slur for, like, the mentally handicapped.
Yeah. Yeah, mentally and physically handicapped, like both at once. I was just saying, in Canada, it's slightly more offensive than it is in the States, but still, you know, no big deal compared to the UK. But God, yeah, what a tragedy. But, yeah, that being said, what do you think? We should take our first legitimate time out of the evening right now? I think so. Everybody, you're listening to W.
Oh, by the way, the SmackDown tag belts suck. Blue and silver.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stage.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh, my God.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit
the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cigs.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me.
Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes.
Dude, the Godfather of the Supreme dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on kicking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my god.
Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go.
Because I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it.
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to cloud by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah. I'm Sergio Morella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? Of all the time!
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right before the break, we're talking about the WWE Universal title for Raw, and Omega made some kind of a comment just as we were going to break about the SmackDown belts. I was going to talk about those on the other side of the break, Omega.
I just want to make sure.
I get it. Yeah, because we want to talk about those really quickly. So Raw gets pennies and SmackDown gets nickels, is that it?
Something like that.
Or are they dimes?
We were saying dimes last night.
Oh, okay.
I think nickels, they're bigger. They have a little bit more, affinity. Like, I don't mind the look of silver for a championship plate. I think it does look better than the bronze.
Yeah.
But again, it's those stupid colored straps.
You know, call me old school. I don't care. I like the traditional straps. The only colored strap I like is the white one on the Intercontinental title belt. And that's only because it set it apart from every other title belt in WWF at the time. Cause they all had the, either black or espresso colored leather belts.
And now it looks like Miz has the girl's belt.
Which is funny. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe the belts are just too damn much color overall. I mean, sure, you want to do some blue highlights because it's SmackDown. Like for Raw, you want to do red highlights. But my God, do you got to make it look like you like bathed it in that color paint?
Well, it's literally what they did. They dyed it blue.
It just makes it look a little bit too cartoony, don't you think?
Kinda.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't heard from Mike about the belts yet, but I'm sure he might have one a thing or two to say.
I like the blue.
Okay, we've heard from Mike. He likes the blue.
I do. I like the blue. They're better than the pennies. Thank God.
It's hard to be worse than the pennies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, it screams of we thought of this brand split shit in like 2 weeks. We didn't have time to make new ones. I'm fully expecting them to go whole hog on this thing, and all the belts on Raw at some point will be red. All the belts will be blue on SmackDown at some point.
That's just so 1970s gauche. It's not funny.
Which means they'll do it.
Ew. Just that's all. Ew. So. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's anything we can say about the belts that's going to change them anytime overnight or anything like that. Other than, we don't like them. Smarten up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You heard what happened at WrestleMania after Brock and Randy Orton. Hey, Omega?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. That's an interesting little bit.
Just to fill everybody in who probably did not or still don't know the story, Jericho got into Brock Lesnar's face after the match in the back room, primarily because Chris Jericho was concerned about Randy Orton's health and well-being and wasn't really sure that wasn't scripted out, and shit went down sideways and Brock got all pissed off and stuff like that and went off script. But here's the thing. You tell Chris Jericho, you tell Brock Lesnar, smarten the hell up and don't do that again. You tell Michael P.S. Hayes, you're in deep shit. Cause it's Michael Hayes' fault. Michael Hayes refused to let Jericho know that the planned finish for the Lesnar-Orton match was essentially what we saw. Was Randy supposed to be busted open hard way? Probably not. But it was supposed to end in a DQ after Brock, air quotes, goes off script and goes all MMA UFC on Randy.
Yeah, the idea behind it from what I've read was they wanted a finish that made it look like Brock went off script, that what was going on wasn't what was supposed to happen. Yep. And Randy was told beforehand that Brock knew how to slice him open with an elbow. Well, he did a little bit more than they planned, but that's pretty much what they were going for.
And if you deliver an elbow properly, yeah, you can cut somebody. But wow, that sure didn't look good. Did you see the picture before he got staples?
Yeah.
Ew, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the least Hayes could have done was just let Jericho know. It would have avoided this entire argument shoving match. Now here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, Brock Lesnar's MMA, UFC, you would have killed Chris. Yeah, well, maybe. Brock Lesnar is not Bill Goldberg. We'll elaborate on that one in a little bit. Brock would have gotten the best of Chris Jericho, but Brock would have been hurt. In my opinion, Brock would have been hurt in that fight.
Well, according to report, Jericho's the one that had Lesnar back to the wall.
Yep. Well, Lesnar was not he wasn't getting involved. He just told Chris to shut up and go away. And he wasn't responding to Chris's aggression. Now, Chris Jericho is legitimately one tough son of a bitch that you do not want to get on the wrong side of. If Lesnar hadn't have, for lack of a better term, I guess, say he turned the other cheek. If Lesnar hadn't have done that, it would have gotten really ugly, really fast.
It almost did.
And it's like I was, it's like I'm saying, Lesnar would have been hurt. He would have put Jericho down. But you can guarantee that the both of them probably would have wound up on the shelf for a while.
Probably.
Yeah, so.
Like, if not for her own injury, then for what WWE would do for a fight breaking out backstage.
Yeah, that too. I was referring to potential injuries, but yeah, that they would have gotten in shit too. But so, but yeah, no, the whole incident, this whole incident, I'm pissed off at Michael Hayes. What about you?
Yeah, it's not the right thing to do. Like, the finish has already happened. Why the hell are you keeping it from one of your workers, especially when he thinks something went wrong?
Well,
like, at that point, what the are you defending kayfabe now, of all times? Like, is it this big of a secret that this is how it was supposed to happen? Like, let him in on it so he doesn't have to flip out on Brock. Or yeah. Have a reason, period, to flip out. Because you are right. This would not have happened if Hayes had just fessed up. Yeah, that was what was planned.
Don't worry, Chris. It was. This is how it's going down. Oh, okay then.
Yeah, it's not hard,
right? So yeah, it's disappointing on his part. But like, how did WWE officials handle this? Vince came out and told them to shake hands and make up, didn't he?
No, there was no shake up. Triple H had to come out and separate the two. By the time Vince got there, Tripp said Lesnar started it. The two had gotten separated at that point, and it cooled down from there.
Oh yeah. That was the other thing that chugged me. You just refreshed my memory reading about it, like, on Tuesday. Lesnar saying that, or Triple H saying that Lesnar started it. The fuck is up with that?
Well, I don't know. As far as I could tell reading it, I would have to reread the same topic I did before. But from what I read, I can't remember the order of events very well, but I can remember thinking, yeah, it sounded like Lesnar started that. At the very least, Lesnar was the one who got aggressive first.
Well, yeah, Lesnar came back. Chris said, what the fuck? Basically, confronted him.
Well, no. He didn't confront him. Jericho said that was bullshit after Hayes gave him the silent treatment. Brock came out. Brock just happened to be coming back into Gorilla from there, overheard it, thought it was about him, and then got into Jericho's face over it.
And he pushed Jericho.
Yeah, so Brock was the aggressor.
So technically he did start it, yeah. So anyway, that's the story about that. Do you see this leading into a program between these two?
I hope not.
You realize, like, even 10 years ago, it would have.
Well, we have Edge and Matt Hardy to prove that.
Yep. So.
It's like, was this a horrible tragedy that ruined your life? Yeah, let's make money off of it.
Okay.
Am I still under contract? Yeah. Okay, then.
Sure, let's make money. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, since you lost your fiance, you're also going to lose this feud.
Yeah, that was the one second thing about that one. He should have won the feud.
WWE, where the villains get their comeuppance when we remember to.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, that was always the, like, anytime the Be a Star campaign ever had to go, well, you got bullies in the WWE all the time, and Stephanie McMahon has to go, yeah, but eventually they get what's coming to them because they're acting that way.
Yeah, true.
And then it just reminds me of, like, hand raised. Bullshit?
Sorry about that. A little bit of a delay. We do need to bring something up. It's a bit of breaking news this afternoon. Unfortunately, it's sad news. The great Mr. Fuji passed away this morning at the age of 82.
And yep. I hate reading stories like this.
It just sucks totally. 100% and completely. At the same time, he lived a good long life, 82 years of age. Nowadays, people aren't looking at it the way they looked at it 15, 20 years ago. 15, 20 years ago, 82. Oh my God, he was really old, blah, 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 blah. Nowadays, you're thinking 82. Shit, he could have lived another 10, maybe 15 years. But, you know, that said, he had a great life. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived a full life, and he was one of the most entertaining, definitely one of the most entertaining managers I have ever witnessed. He had retired from wrestling before I got heavily involved in watching it, but, you know, just take a look at some of the names that he managed. First and foremost, Yokozuna.
Always count on him with a bag of salt for those matches.
Yeah, well, you could always count on him with a little bit of salt out of his pockets for just about any match, really. But can you name a couple of other wrestlers that he managed in his time?
I believe Don Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who else he's done. He had a lot. Like WWE listed them off, and I can remember Demolition, Powers of Pain.
Yep.
Kamala.
Yep. He had a veritable slew of who's who for heels that he managed. And damn. And it was always fun to see him on the screen. I just love what Mean Gene said about him one time. Mr. Fuji, the Japanese manager. I don't think he's ever been to Japan in his life. But damn. So, you know, all I can say right now, you know, rest in peace, Mr. Fuji. Thank you for absolutely everything you've done for professional wrestling and to entertain us fans.
Sometime tonight I have to go back and watch Fuji Vice now.
Yep. That was the absolute worst thing ever. Oh, it was so bad it was good, Omega.
Oh yeah.
The thing that killed me, he could not resist every 30 seconds looking at the camera and smiling at the camera. He's like, look at me, Mr. Fuji. So, yeah. Sad that it is. In a situation like this, you just got to remember all the fun that you had whenever he was around.
Mm-hmm.
So, rest in peace, Mr. Fuji. Thank you very much. On that note, everybody, we're taking our final break of the evening. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back after the break and do some more stuff.
No chance, so that's what you got. Up against a machine too strong. 50 politicians buying souls for one song. Puppets won't find their place in line. But I am straight, go rip your finger now, boy. Cause it's just a matter of time.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
It has returned.
I'm looking for Sarah Card. Oh God, wrong house.
This is so not safe.
WTR Riffs presents the final deletion.
Oh my God, there's like an army of drones.
Ah.
Oh dear God.
It's not the kind of riding you're supposed to do on a lawnmower.
Jeff,
no.
Okay, I'm starting to think that these guys have more money than sense.
What am I looking at?
Jeffrey Nero, what are you doing?
Oh, this is a bad idea. This is a really bad idea.
Why do you always try to kill your brother with fireworks?
Available now at wildtalkradio.com.
Thank God, it's over.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It just gets really weird. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't
know. 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'll have to wake up and start riding the damn donkey. I hated that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said she.
Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and of course also 100% free on the TuneIn app on your mobile device. All you got to do is go to, you know, whatever it is for your mobile, iTunes, or what is it? Is it the iTunes store or the iPhone store or whatever it is, or Google Play if you have Android? Download the TuneIn app, search for Wild Talk Radio Network, and you can listen to us when you're on the go. It's that simple. That's all there is to it. So, you know. Grab it.
So simply, you had a hard time getting it out in the first place.
Well, you know, I don't have an iPhone or I this or I that or I whatever. I do have an iPod mini or whatever they call that. The iPod Shuffle that my son gave me for Christmas that I still have to actually use once. I haven't used it yet. He asked me the other day if I like it. I told him I did. I like it. Haven't used it, but I like it. I've got an Android phone and I just go to the Google Play Store. So that's where I got iTunes or TuneIn. Weird. I keep getting that mixed up. Anyway, yeah. Coming back to Bayley's music. Did you like her debut on Raw this past Monday night, guys?
There's mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Honestly, number one, I love that she debuted. I love that Mick was the one who brought her out.
Yep.
There's part of me that was like really bugged that like they didn't modify enough of her, like they didn't modify enough of her entrance graphics to actually work on that stage.
Yeah.
So they just flashed it a bunch of Bailey colors and there was just like it felt so cheap because you could see in the background the screens around the arena had her Titantron going. But
yep.
it wasn't going on like anywhere on the stage. No part of her Titantron was it was just like yellows and pinks with one I'm a Hugger logo. It looks so thrown together.
It did feel rushed, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, part of it's just like it's the one thing about NXT is it lets you create all these graphics for and Titantrons and such for them ahead of time so that when they come up to the main roster, it's already done. They just come out.
Yep.
Except they just changed Raw's stage completely.
It just didn't work.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if it was the Raw stage or if they had just left the SummerSlam stage up.
I didn't like the Raw stage at all. Kind of reminded me of like the WrestleMania, what was it, 24 type scenario with the whole angle, and it's like the walkway is just like so narrow now.
Yeah, I got a funny feeling that was just, you know, SummerSlam leftover. I mean, like, look where Raw was, right? What happened the night before SummerSlam? Why tear something down just to put something different up all over again, right?
Well, they just did it for NXT the previous night, but okay.
Well, maybe they're getting lazy. I don't know. But would there have been a better place for Bayley to debut on the main roster?
No. It had to be in Brooklyn.
Oh, hell yeah. And you could tell the crowd was really digging it, too.
Well, it was needed and it was expected, so therefore I'm kind of happy that it happened. But nonetheless, it just kind of sucks. You know, lost at Brooklyn, but hey, you're on Raw in Brooklyn.
Well, it's a passing of the division. You know, she's leaving that division in Asuka's hands officially now. So it's business she had to finish up. She had to make, you know, she was there long enough for them to rebuild the women's division a little bit. You know, we've got Asuka fully established. We've got Ember Moon coming up. We're working on some other women's talent down there now. There's enough depth in that women's roster to rebuild from here on out after the horsewomen all left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it was the right time. Like, this way she doesn't get mixed up in like the draft. You know, her debut's held off a little so it stands out a little bit better.
Well, actually, she kind of got a bigger pop in DC. I'm not even going to lie. She got a huge pop in DC. I think that was probably a great moment for her. I would have been like, yo, that would have been the perfect time for her debut, but we all know. Ain't the case.
Yeah, the pop at Battleground was, like, deafening.
And if she had debuted the following night, that would have been icing on the cake. A lot of people think that's when it should have happened, but, you know, circumstances and everything else, what are you going to do, really?
I just don't know where Charlotte gets off talking trash on Bayley when the last two times she had matches with Bayley, she lost.
Yeah, but that was in NXT.
No, that was NXT in Battleground.
I know. I was just like, can we make this work? No.
No.
Nope, I can do it. But yeah, no, that's going to be the next major feud, isn't it?
It's unfortunate that it's at the cost of Sasha since she's hurt. But at the same time, God, it makes Bayley feel like such a big deal.
Now, is it too soon for Bayley to be given the women's championship?
Balor. Too soon no longer has any meaning in WWE right now because of Finn Balor.
Well, okay, the point is there, but Balor was thrown in as a replacement because Roman Reigns got suspended for using amphetamines, right?
And now we have her as a replacement for an injured Sasha.
So, is it too soon? Well, ideally, yes. But right now, you know, if she wins that title off of Charlotte, I'm popping.
I'm not complaining. I will not complain.
I'm not just because Bayley wins the title and Charlotte loses it. I'm popping because I know that if Bayley is still holding that title when Sasha comes back, Omega.
Oh.
Am I right?
Moist.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That match.
Kids, moist.
Yeah, I'm looking down the road. That's exactly right. I'm looking at the forest, not just the trees for this one. So, yeah, I kind of want Bayley to have that damn title when Sasha comes back.
Yeah, so do I, my second draft pick tonight.
Yeah, for different reasons.
Shut up.
Hey, Mike.
Positivity, motherfucker.
Yeah, Mike, it's like Omega said, you had your chance, bitch.
You're right. You're probably right.
Yeah, no, I paraphrased, but that's basically what he said.
It was the advantage of going last again, my first and second picks back to back.
Yeah, so, but yeah, that's the program I want to see. And I want to see, not just a couple of matches. I want to see like a complete, let them just go on for like three and a half months. Draw this out. Now, I'm not talking about having them fight each other every single damn night because that'll just take away the magic and the dollar value for the pay-per-view.
Promos, contract signing.
Poor Dana's going to lose a lot.
Dana is going to be, I'm thinking we're probably looking at Barry Horowitz levels of jobbing.
Oh, so she's going to be the Shannon Moore of this year.
In the next few months coming up. I'm just
God. Dana Brooke is a Matatu follower.
I'm not going to ever be a Dana Brooke fan.
I'm not going to be a fan of Helga either.
It's the Hebrew Hammer.
You said Barry Horowitz, so I played his music.
Now, every time I hear that, I'm thinking I want a tequila. Okay, Rock got that one. Which is kind of surprising. Anyway. So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think that's exactly what might wind up being in the plans now, with Sasha being hurt and Bayley being called up. Let's give the belt to her. We'll write a program for when Sasha comes back. Now, Sasha doesn't need surgery. It's a lower lumbar situation. She just needs some time off and rest, relaxation, and a couple of massages. She'll be good in about a month, right?
Supposedly, yes.
That's the plan anyway. So here's hoping that that happens. And God damn it, November, hurry up and get here, because we'll be right in the thick of what I'm hoping is going to happen by then. And at the same time, I don't want November to hurry up and get here either. Although I wouldn't be too upset once this year is finished with. So, anyway, that's that for that. Dudley boys, are they legitimately retiring? Have they legitimately retired?
From WWE, probably.
Yeah. I don't think they retired. It was a goodbye segment, not a retirement segment.
A goodbye to WWE. You figure they're going to take off, maybe work New Japan or Ring of Honor or something like that?
I don't know. Can the Smashing Pumpkins guy? Because I don't even want to refer to him as Billy Corgan, because it's, in my head, it's just the Smashing Pumpkins guy owns TNA.
There is.
Can he talk Team 3D to come back?
That's going to be tricky if Dixie's still involved with TNA, I think. But you never know.
Dixie's a figurehead at this point with TNA.
Yeah.
She has a little desk in the back corner of the warehouse. They give her a button. She's told that this button is important. Keep pressing it.
It's like the help button for Staples. Tell me that you guys get that commercial down in the States.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So they're heading to Glasgow, Scotland, and they're confirmed for ICW on November 20th. And they're back to Team 3D.
Trademark.
They did not get their trademark back.
No. Well, didn't they go back to WWE for one more run with the express implied guarantee that they would get one more run as tag team champions, and that never materialized?
I think any time you go back to WWE, especially a team as high profile as the Dudleys, you have that expectation. It's like,
yeah. You
know, we're going to get our spot back, right? We're going to get our belts back, right? Right?
Nope.
It's only been 10 years. Can we? I mean,
you let the New Age Outlaws do it.
I mean, if they came back this year at SummerSlam, they would definitely be the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, because let's look at the teams besides American Alpha.
Okay. come on. The Shining Stars have this in the bag.
They're raw. Remember, Shining Stars are raw.
What about the Headbangers?
Yeah.
Oh, but don't we have, like, we have Rhino and Slater.
Yay, yeah. Rhino! Nobody picked him in the draft.
The one man gore band.
Tim, you could have.
I know, I looked at him and I'm like, fuck, I'm not picking Rhino, forget it.
I mean, no, you should have picked Rhino, because he's going to win this November in probably an election. Not actually in the ring.
Okay, if he wins an election, then I get points for that.
But you didn't take him, so no, you get no points.
Okay, if I'd have taken him, if he won in an election, would I have gotten points?
You could have probably came up with something for that.
Yeah, I don't see that happening, so no.
No, but he is running. He is legit running for an office in Michigan.
Yeah, he'll probably wind up with...
What's he actually running for? Is that like a... I thought it was just like a mayor or something.
Some sort of political... Oh, I'll figure it out.
Anyway. City council. He's running to be a councilman.
Okay.
He's giving his inauguration speech. Seth Rollins hits him with a Money in the Bank briefcase and cashes in.
Oh, God, I hope not.
And Seth Rollins becomes councilman. He's got little Nates with him to count 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, he's running for state representative for his district in Dearborn, Michigan.
So yeah, council. He's running for city council.
Yeah. It's weird seeing him in a suit and bow tie.
I can believe that. Wait, he was in a bow tie?
Such a, you can see for yourself.
Oh my god, he's in a bow tie. No, Rhino.
Let me see.
Oh, Jesus, Percy. You gotta throw that on the screen.
Which of Vince's wardrobes did you steal that from?
That's a good question.
Seriously, throw that up on the, insanely expensive WTR Jumbotron.
I'm working on it.
That's like such a dork.
I agree, he does.
There, it's on the insanely expensive Timotron 200.
Yeah, my picture's not switching over, I don't know why. Oh, there it is.
Took a second, but it was up.
Yeah. Yeah, the shirt does not work.
The shirt doesn't work.
The shirt does not work. The jacket, okay, I can live with the jacket. The shirt and the bow tie, they gotta go. Dude, those have to go. No, he needs somebody to dress them.
I think Bob Backlund's dressing them.
Omega, you want to help him out on his fashion choices?
I can't help that.
Hashtag blame Omega.
Oh, that's just mean. Don't do that today.
No, he's the fashion guru. So whenever there's a fashion faux pas, it's hashtag blame Omega.
You actually accepted that, Omega?
I didn't accept shit.
He didn't want to accept anything. We just forced this one upon him.
Accepting this award in Omega's favor is WTR's Oreo, Mike. Are we going to come up with a blame Mike for something?
I hope not.
Oh, I could. No, I'm not going to. That was just too mean.
Stop that.
I get too many people mad at me. I won't do it. Tell me you're chuckling, Mike.
Anytime a wrestler rages, which he would have gotten for Chris Jericho.
Blame Mike. Chris Jericho suspended for beating up Sasha Banks.
What?
Don't do that, because a lot of my friends, they listen. If I get eggs thrown on my window, I know why.
All right, all of you guys who are friends of Mike, throw eggs on his window.
Fuck off.
Said to, because I want pictures now, Mike. Just don't scare Grandma.
I'm just going to save Mike and everyone right now.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all time greatest.
Stop us now!
Alright, here we go. The all-time greatest wrestling faction debate rolls on. The Fabulous Freebirds take on D-Generation X Omega.
The originators of the Freebird rule, or the NWO ripoff that I actually liked a lot more than NWO. God, I will admit, this is a generational thing. This is just the Freebirds were before my time, so I can't properly appreciate them. But I know I love the hell out of DX. I love the obnoxious shit they were doing when it was just Hunter, China, and Sean. I really like the face run when they added X-Pac and the New Age Outlaws. You know, shit like impersonating the Nation of Domination, which I'm sure there would be a lawsuit for what X-Pac did that day if it was done now. You know, invading WCW and all that. You know, the stuff you remember DX for. It's like, that's some of my best memories from, like, the era that made me a wrestling fan in the first place. So, yeah, if only because I am not as familiar with the Freebirds as I should be, I will go with DX.
I'm going to switch things up and go to Tim.
Well, not to make it sound like I was old enough to appreciate the Freebirds, but if you took the New Day and got rid of the power of positivity, combined it with Axe Smash and Crush, throw in just a touch of Mr. Fuji, not very much, just a tiny little bit.
Just and a dash of salt?
Yeah, just a dash of salt, a pinch of salt. And, of course, the Freebird rule, you're getting a better picture of what the Freebirds were, right? Oh, and rock and roll. Now, I'm not talking, you know, rock and wrestling that was brought in thanks to Cyndi Lauper to make it all mainstream and shit like that. And then you get the major stars doing the rock and roll. You know, like the Southern Fried Rock, because again, you know, they were, you know, NWA, Deep South Wrestling. That should paint a bit of a clearer picture for you younger people on exactly what you expected when you got the Freebirds. And yeah, they were kind of awesome for what they were. D-Generation X, now, when this faction was settled on Rock, is it the original D-Generation X, the final version of D-Generation X, or is it like both combined from beginning to end?
Beginning to end.
Okay. What is the best thing D-Generation X ever did? That's hard to answer because it's going to be suggestive. For me, the best thing I ever saw D-Generation X do was try to invade WCW. That was awesome. The second awesome thing was the speech Shawn Michaels gave live on Raw, followed up by Triple H actually saying what words they will not say before the 10 p.m. time slot and having half of them bleeped out.
I enjoyed the one moment where right after the Montreal Screwjob, they brought out Midget Bret Hart. But that's just me.
You're just a dick. Anyway.
Cheap heat.
Here it is. Legitimately, D-Generation X threatened to have Raw pulled off the air week after week after week. This is not a work. This is legitimate. Every week, the censor board was complaining about what they did the week before. And it was getting to McMahon, and they were getting in his face, and McMahon said, you guys, I'm not kidding. You've got to do something about this. That led to that little bit where they were saying, you know, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, we're not going to say the following words. And then they said the words, and they got bleeped out. The stories, and it's like you can watch it on WWE Network about them. The story came out that the censors absolutely loved that bit, and that basically backed them off a little bit of D on DX and let them basically eased up giving McMahon grief over the whole thing. Everything that you said, yeah, Omega, you call them the ripoff for the NWO. I wouldn't say the ripoff. I would say the answer to NWO. As good as NWO was, it was a two-trick pony. DX, they just kept bringing different layers. And I have to admit, you go to a WWF live event and DX is on the card, some women in the audience are losing their shirts, literally.
I am not surprised you would factor in the free titties.
How can you not? Especially when you were there to see it happen. Doesn't matter how many times you told your mother, stop it!
So instead of free birds, you're going free titties?
Yeah, free titties, free the boobs, free the nipple, and D-Generation X gets my vote.
Hottest way to pick one? Okay, Mike, top that.
Good luck.
I can't. I really can't top that. Oh, jeez.
Tim's name is now Team Nipple.
God, yeah. Oh. D-Generation X.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt.
Does a parody of people. First, the Nation of Domination. Dear God, that was hilarious. Then it was the Undertaker, the McMahons, the Midget Bret Hart.
Shut up.
And it was entertaining. Now, the great thing that, yeah, just like Tim said, maybe they were NWO's answer. Because D-Generation X, one thing you can say about them was that they revolutionized stable attitude. They were just a bunch of delinquents. But then you have the fabulous Freebirds that have invented the Freebird rule. However, I would have to say D-Generation X.
Apparently, when Tim screws up, it's now hashtag Team Nipslip.
That's kind of funny.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of Nipslips.
In turn, since you came up with that, you have to keep track of the screw-ups.
Now I'm going to screw up on purpose just so we get a lot of Nipslips.
Don't worry. I don't think you have to overexert yourself on this one.
So DX moves on, even though 82% of people went with DX. Up next, we have 82% of people. I forgot. I thought it was the other way around.
Swerve.
That was like, yeah, okay.
It's called, I looked at it and went, oh, okay, there's the percentages. Oh, wait, it was the other way around.
Oops. Yeah, that's a what the fuck moment.
Yep. Anyway, so DX moves on. Up next, it is the Heenan family taking on Camp Cornette. Mike.
Jesus Christ. Bobby the Brain Heenan. Come on, guys. It's Bobby the Brain Heenan. I need I say more. But however, you do have a smartass named Jim Cornette. By the way, anybody who's never seen the roast of Jim Cornette, I do encourage you all to see that. It's fucking hilarious.
Just stay out of Just stay out of Dairy Queen.
But it's Bobby Heenan, AWA, Blackjacks, and then later on down you had Andre the Giant, King Kong, Bundy, John Studd. You had mega superstars. But Camp Cornette, you had Vader. You had Vader. And Owen. So I'm gonna have to say the man with the brain. The Heenan family.
Oh, okay. Omega.
Debating in my head here. Because Camp Cornette actually did have a pretty solid group.
They did.
In their midst.
You had Bulldog and Owen as tag champs for a while. Yokozuna was challenging for world titles. Vader challenged for a world title.
And they started with Owen and Yoko winning the belt, the tag belts.
And then it went to Bulldog and Owen at some point, I think. They were a great trio. Hell, they attempted to pull off the Freebird rule at one point with Bulldog and Yoko.
Mm-hmm. That said, just when you talk Heenan family, it's not just the people Heenan managed in the WWF. Like, the Heenan family spans, AWA, NWA, WWA.
WCW.
There's just so much to it over so many eras. That's a, that's a changing roster of guys coming in and out of partnerships with Heenan for, damn near a decade. That's a lot. And if it comes down to the people behind these teams, I would put Bobby Heenan over Jim Cornette anytime, really. And I will do that this time as well. I'll give it to the Heenan family.
All right, Tim.
Weasel. Weasel.
Is that all you got?
That's all I need. All
right, so the Heenan family moves on, and they had 55% of the vote. Next week on the all-time greatest faction conversation, it'll be New Japan's Bullet Club taking on the corporate ministry, and the Right to Censor takes on the Million Dollar Corporation.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Did you all know Vince McMahon just finally reached puberty?
I thought he had big grapefruits.
Well, he just finally got them. Ooh. But the question is...
I dropped.
The question is, on his 71st birthday, what would you get him, Mike?
What can you... Donald Trump's head.
All right, we have Donald Trump's head. Tim, what are you getting him for his birthday?
Your supply of defense?
Omega, what are you getting him for his birthday?
I'm getting him a walker for the next time his hip breaks. The next time he blows a quad, for that matter.
Okay. So, Mike, on your 71st birthday, what do you hope people get you?
Alcohol. Lots and lots of alcohol.
Lots and lots of alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tim, on your 71st birthday, and I'm not going to make the old joke, what do you hope people get you?
Kind of sort of implied that you did. A brand new sports car!
I can't afford that in 2 weeks.
All right, 71 in 2 weeks. You got time to save up?
Someone had to. Low-hanging fruit.
Oh, sweet chariot.
It's not 2 weeks, Omega. His birthday is the beginning of October. So about 5 weeks.
Noted.
You really want a sports car, Tim?
I always want a brand new sports car.
One day you may get it. You need to hit the lottery first.
I refuse to grow up.
And Omega, what do you hope people get you on your 71st birthday?
Ouch. God, at the rate I go, I'm going to have so much shit by then already. By then, I want someone to give me a brand new, like, fresh in the box, original Super Nintendo.
Oh.
So at 71, I can be hipster while, you know, grandkids are playing virtual reality off, you know, floating in the holodeck, and I can just sit there in front of whatever the TV looks like back then, going, "My games are better, you fuckwits."
You're gonna call your grandkids fuckwits. All right.
Hey, by then it won't be a curse. People use the word fuck so often now, it's gonna lose all of its impact by then.
Like what happened in Australia.
Eh. You never know.
That's it.
It's the nature of language, Tim. You know, the more you use it, the less value it has.
The impact of words. Make it your own. There you go. Ah, that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night in the books, guys. We're done. That being said, don't forget to tune in to the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow for the post-Raw show.
Raw post show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern recap. Everything goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Just that quickly, too. Thursday night's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock with a multi-talented...
I heard half of that. Okay. Yes, we promise we will not go 3 hours this coming Thursday like we did this past one when we had a special guest on. His name was TJ Omega.
Yay!
Our official NXT correspondent. He's been given a title on the show. Anyway, follow the show on Twitter at Rock Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rock Radio Show. We'll cover NXT, we'll cover all the news you can possibly handle, and so much more to Rock Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Get us at RockRadioShow.com, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/Rock Radio Show.
Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, the Insane, the outrageous, the illegal in 13 different countries, CB Radio.
Tell you the adventure of how Rob is now hardcore after vacuuming. And so much more. We're back. CB Radio episode 448 this Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
Of course, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Hey, you guys listening in chat, do you want us to keep starting an hour earlier, or shall we go back to our original time slot?
Please go back to the original time slot.
There you go. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Check us all out on the Facebook. It's facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Find me on Facebook, I dare you, facebook.com/Men Chefs. Just search for Man Kitchen and you should find me. There are only about 5 of them up there.
Buy his book.
Buy the book. Yeah, we'll get more into that as the week goes on because the push has begun, or at least it's beginning. For Man Kitchen. Hey, Omega, plug.
Ooh, my turn. So, except for Facebook, which is TJ Reviews, if you want to follow me there, everything else is TJ Omega, which includes the website, tjomega.org. It includes Twitter, at TJ Omega. And, of course, it includes the YouTube channel, at TJ Omega, where if I'm not losing my mind, there's content every single weekday.
Mike!
For those of you who want to be able to get in contact with me, come on, talk to me, talk to me. I'm on the Twitter, the WTR Oreo. Come on, talk to me, talk to me. I'll hopefully try and talk to you, talk to you.
Okay. He'll say everything double.
Yeah, he wants voices in his head is what he wants.
Well, no, I don't.
Well, just re-nickname him Mikey two times.
Say good night, Tim.
Good night, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.